Hallelujah.
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 Glory to your name, oh God.
Praise the Lord.
We are so worthy. We thank you now. We bless your name. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your spirit, God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh God, you're so wonderful. Glory to your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to your name, oh God.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh yes. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Hallelujah. Glory to you.
Thank you, God. Thank
you, God. Press him,
Jesus.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus.
Glory to you, Lord. Bless your name, God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory, God.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, God. Thank you, Father. Continue to have your way. Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of the Living God.
Yes.
We continue to welcome your presence. To do whatever seems good to you. You're in control. Take control. Have your way, Spirit of the Living God. Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help I know. Let the Spirit of God rise up, that preaching will be easy. I do not desire to come with enticing words, but in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, for the word. I thank you, God, what you have dropped in my spirit. Now, Father, I ask that you will execute as you see fit, not what I think, not even what I pray, but what you want said. You know what you want to have done in this place on this day. And I say, have your way. And I thank you. It's in Jesus' name that I do it. To Pastor David, thank you for the opportunity to stand in your stead today. You all know that I always acknowledge Pastor D, Pastor Davis as Pastor D, because he is my mentor to my co-laborer in the gospel minister. And to all of you, there's a word from the Lord. I don't know exactly what and how the delivery is going to go. Because as I was reading something in the Sunday school lesson, which I must admit I had not read, but I may use that if the Holy Spirit wills it to be so. Basically, I will be speaking about Christian conduct, but I do have a title, and the more I think about it, the more this message may be for me. Because sometimes we think we may know where we are in the things of God. And God just have to let us see and know. So for the sake of you that want a title, it is natural, carnal, spiritual. What category do you fit in? As we heard and read the responsive reading, God has already blessed us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings that pertain to life and godliness. The scripture that was read it's really not the text, but it does set the tone. For it said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And Paul goes on to talk about to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But he said, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Word of God said the body profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives you life. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, as that particular scripture was read from Romans, it informed us that the Mosaic law could not justify, not sanctify. If the law could have done what needed to be done, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come. So the law couldn't do that. But that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But we see from that particular scripture, there are three minded kinds of person. The flesh, or the natural minded person, the carnally minded, and the spiritual minded. We already know from previous lessons, sermons, what have you, the natural mind cannot please God. The carnal man is an enmity against God, for he is not subject to the law of God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man, and we're using man as human mankind, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians. Exactly, that's where the text is for the message today. And I will start reading 1 Corinthians 2:9. And I want you to hear this because it's going to be important in the meat of the message. 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is Paul writing, and I need to sort of tell you that there was a lot of things going on at the Corinthian church. Paul had set up the church there and he had moved on to Ephesus, but he had to write to them back because there was a lot of stuff going on. And I believe some of the same kind of stuff is going on today. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But as it is written, going to verse 9, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that loves him. You can't get it through the five senses. Not based on what you see, it's not based on what you hear, but it's what God put in our spirit. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, The things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also do we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost, a Holy Spirit, teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, but they are, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. One of the things that Paul does in this particular scripture, he identifies three categories of persons, of people, of a man. And when I say man, I'm not talking about gender per se, but humankind. And he makes it very clear about each one of these. So I'm going to ask you, as we go along into the text, I'm going to ask you to examine yourself and decide what category you fit in. But Paul goes on to say, but we that are spiritual have the mind of Christ. In order to have the mind of Christ, one must first have a saving faith in Christ. John 1:12, 1 John 5:12. After salvation, a believer lives a life, or should live a life, under God's influence. It is the Holy Spirit that indwells and enlightens us to live. And it is the Holy Spirit that infuses us with wisdom so that we have the mind of Christ. So it's up to us, it is our responsibility as a believer to yield to the Holy Spirit and to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us and renew our mind. So we find in this first letter to the Corinthians, Paul gives exhortation for Christian conduct. And their most serious problem was worldliness. They were surrounded by a whole lot of pagan stuff. Mm-hmm. But he pointed out to them that as spiritual people, they shouldn't be living the way they were living. They were living in a worldly manner. I believe that our culture today is somewhat like that of the corrupt Christian of Paul's day. And some of the problems that Paul addressed was spiritual immaturity, sexual immorality, envy, strife, division, misuse of spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. lack of love. Would you agree that some of these problems exist today mm-hmm. in the church? Mm-hmm. So I was looking at something in the Sunday school lesson, and I'm going to read it because I make reference to something, having not looked at it. Just bear with me. I'm not going to be long because I don't have as many things as I normally have. Mm-hmm. But it says, for today's lesson in the Sunday school, in this lesson on consequences of disobedience, we may have to stretch our thinking, for we are immersed in a culture that for all practical purpose does not really believe in God. People politely quote the word one nation under God. If our culture does believe in God, it is a God of their own making, not the creator and sustainer of the universe. Secularists believe that we are just animals, nothing on a higher order than an animal, with no responsibility to our creator. Rather, they are quick to say, if there is a God, why doesn't he do something about this and that and the other? Mm-hmm. I picked up what, because I was about to say something about the culture, and it says, it's also a popular in our culture for a person to try to find mitigating circumstances and try to excuse the faults of others. For if they are not guilty, are responsible, neither is he. After all, everyone does it, is the thinking. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have to get our thinking right. However, God will have none of our sophisticated reason or excuses. Time out for excuses. We are individually responsible for our reaction to the events of life and for our spiritual and moral decisions. I thought that was very interesting. Now, we need to realize, number one, that our behavior is influenced by our culture. Mm-hmm. A culture filled with wrong thinking is directly related to wrong living. If you're thinking a certain way, you're going to start acting a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. Let's go without saying. As Christians following Christ, we need his spirit. We need to be born of the spirit. John 3 makes that very clear. There was this man that came to Jesus named Nicodemus by night asking, how can this be? He was an educated man, but he didn't have the spirit of God. So he was asking a natural question. So when Jesus told him he must be born again, he said, how can that be? Can I enter the womb a second time? And there are some of us who may not be like Nicodemus, but may be without the Spirit of God. Because it is the Holy Spirit that's going to teach us, going to lead us, going to guide us. Before Jesus went back to be with the Father, he says, it's expedient that I go, and if I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, the Paracletus, your teacher. And he's not going to leave you. In fact, he's going to indwell you. So, having said that, we know that we need the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, we are responsible for our own behavior, good, bad, or indifferent. Paul makes it very clear, when I would do good, evil is always present. There's another reason why you need the Holy Spirit, because he'll put you in check. So if we're having not so good behavior, or should I say wrong behavior, we need to correct our behavior with the proper understanding of God's word so that our thinking will be right. Spiritually speaking, what are we to think? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8 what we need to be thinking on. He said, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, loving, and of a good report. That's what we need to think on. Right. And the word of God fits all of this. Word of God is pure. It's just. It's right, converting the soul. So as we move on, Paul have identified these categories of person in the text. We understand that there were problems in the Corinthian church because not everybody was spiritual. That's true today. Everybody in the church is not spiritual. Everybody does not have the Spirit of God. So in some of them church meetings, it becomes very obvious that the Spirit of God doesn't prevail. I think Pastor D can relate to that. I can relate to that. And maybe some of you. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power they are. They don't have no Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8 tells us, when the Holy Ghost comes, ye shall what? Have power. And we should be his witnesses. So we have the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. Once I finish, I hope this message will help you see where you are. You don't have to tell me, because God already knows. But you need to know.
Come on now.
So which category fits you? Let's look at the natural man. We go back to 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. The word natural refers to the person who is governed by their five senses. And the desire, what they see, what they hear, what they taste, what they eat. Oh, you don't know about the five senses. I used to hear people talk about a sixth sense. There was no sixth sense. There was the Spirit of God. And people used to say, I can remember parents, grandparents, they would predict or say something was going to happen. I'm like, how did they know that? And it would really happen. I didn't understand because I didn't have the Spirit of God. But they had the Spirit of God, so the Spirit will reveal stuff to them. The natural man is one who is not saved. They have not been born again. They've had a natural birth now, but they never had a spiritual birth. The natural man is earth-minded. They live according to the lust of the flesh. Their life is merely a reflection of who they are, what they want, what they're about. They sin because they're lost. And guess what? Because they do not have the Spirit of God, they are spiritually blinded. As the word said, when it comes to spiritual things, neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. They don't appreciate the things of God, nor do they apprehend the things of God. When we say things are spiritually discerned, what do we mean? Discern means to judge carefully or correctly. The only way a person can apprehend and comprehend spiritual things is to have the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit does not indwell their person, they are spiritually blinded. If you have not the Spirit, then you need to be born again. Very clear about that. Because we live in a time where we need discerning our spirit. So many things are out here. And looking with your natural eyes is not going to let you know just what it is. So the natural man, you don't want to be him. But there is another man that Paul talks about, the carnal mind or the carnal person. And this is what Paul said. He was talking to them and he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal." And then verse 3 said, he said, "Are you not carnal?" In other words, they had a little form. They might have been good church school. They might have been doing a lot of right things. There was a lot of wrong things. The word carnal speaks of that which pertains to the flesh. This is a fleshy person controlled, sort of like the natural man. But this person is saved, or claimed to be saved, because Paul said they are in Christ. So I can assume then the carnal man is saved, but he acts like the natural man. Do you know anybody like that?
Amen.
They like to fly on the fish. When they're with you as a Christian, they flounder around on the right side. But when they get around people of another persuasion, not saved, then they act like them. They flound around on the dark side. Wow. I call them the flounder fish. One thing that's characteristic about the carnal man is he lives as a spiritual babe. No spiritual grave. Yeah, they may have accepted Christ as their Savior, but from that point on, there has been little or no spiritual growth. We need to grow in the things of God. Now, this is something my pastor used to have to talk to me about, so I was reacting like a spiritual babe. And I had to get some instructions in the do's and don'ts. He used to tell me, don't react, but act. See, when you're a spiritual babe, your attitude may not be good. There may be envy, there may be strife, there may be division, there'll be these problems in the church meetings. And one thing about a carnal person, they always want to get revenge. You hurt me. You got in my seat. You did this, you did that. They want some revenge when they have been done wrong. Or if they even view something is wrong. I used to get a little upset with Pastor D because we had this one person, excuse me for being personal, just making a point. And this person will always be acting real crazy and saying things. I'm like, that's the pastor. Why you let him talk to you like that? I wanted to beat him up. I had to remember, Lord, the Lord said, vengeance is mine, Carol. And he had to tell me, stop reacting. Because I was quick on the draw. I was ready to go for it. So, we don't want to be carnal, y'all. If we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we don't need to act like those people who have no Savior. In fact, as I was studying, one of the things that God brought to my mind that we should be really aware of in our growth, in Hebrews, it talks about the six foundational stones, repentance from dead work, faith towards the Lord, the baptism, all that stuff. And he said, all that's good. You don't throw that away, but you got to move from that.
Right.
You don't sit there and stay there. Those are just the foundational pieces, and you build on them. Mm-hmm. So when somebody is building something, what do? They lay a solid foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to build a big, tall building and make sure the foundation is solid. So our foundation need to be solid, but we don't need to stay there forever building on the foundation. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and build the building.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be a spiritual house, and we need to grow up.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, we get saved, and we stay right there. That's enough. But I can remember years ago, church was different from what it is now. I can remember, maybe some of you don't, because besides one lady, I'm probably the oldest one in here, where you would go to church and you would stay all day. And if you didn't go to church, you didn't go anywhere else that day.
Right.
Times are different.
Yeah.
And if they said to you, don't lie, because I can tell when you're lying, that was the truth, because the Holy Spirit would let them know. So there was a lot of carnality going on. But it's time to get off the milk and get some strong meat. We don't ever be ever learning and never come to the knowledge of truth. You ought to get some truth. And you will get some truth if you got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Moving right along. So we got this carnal man, and they live like spiritual babes, and they react like spiritual babes, and they always want to sort of get back at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But don't need to do that. Because if you're carnal, if you've accepted Christ, you should be growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you're growing, things will be changing. You won't be conformed to the world, but you'll be transformed. First by the renewing of your mind. So the last man is the spiritual man. The spiritual man has been born of the Spirit, and he is governed by the Holy Spirit. One thing Paul said that was very important, or well, the most important, I guess, description that Paul makes is that the spiritual man has the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ does not mean that we have reached a level of perfection equal to Jesus, but rather it means that Christ shares with us spiritual wisdom that enables us to see life from God's perspective. We're not looking at it from the world standpoint of view. That's what happened a lot of times in our society today. We go along to get along. Whatever the world says, right. We want to jump on the bandwagon. And when we do that, obviously we'll make poor and bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that a spiritual man does, he or she is able to make proper decisions. Have you ever had to make a decision about something you're torn between and you start vacillating, going round and round, and the more you do that, the more confused you get, because if you think long, the devil's going to bring another thought, and then another thought, and then another thought. But when you receive the Spirit of God going to lead you. It's not going to be the wisdom of man, but it's going to be the wisdom from God.
Mm-hmm.
And see, one thing about the Lord promised us, he said, I'll never leave nor forsake you. So if the Holy Spirit indwells us, he's that ever-present help.
Yeah.
We go out sometime looking for other help. But God said, I'm that ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's always there. So since God is always ever-present, he can reveal to us his deep spiritual truth. But when we allow the enemy, the devil, our adversary, to come to our mind, that's why the mind is empty against God. Because that's where the devil likes to have the battleground. I think it's Joyce Myers that talked the battlefield of the mind. The enemy likes to do that. He likes to mess with our mind.
Mm-hmm.
If he can plant a seed of doubt, mm-hmm. a seed of fear, mm-hmm. seed of control, and he likes to use fear. Mm-hmm. He likes to use mm-hmm. doubt. Bible lets us know if we doubt, don't think we're going to receive anything mm-hmm. from the Lord. Mm-hmm. So the devil knows that. Remember, he was up there in heaven with God.
Yes.
So he knows some scripture and can quote it too. Mm-hmm. See these Bible-toting Christians? Say no. But have no Holy Ghost yet. They say that's sanctified on their way to heaven anyhow. We often say, Evelyn, sanctification is an ongoing process. It don't happen overnight. While the Holy Spirit is the agent of sanctification, that's a process that needs to continue. So the Holy Ghost is going to reveal to us the deep truths of God, and we need the truths of God, because I tell you, there's a lot of lies out there. So who are you? You don't answer to me, but you need to ask yourself. I know I'm not a natural man, but am I carnal in my walk? I know I'm spiritual, but I'm not living up to all I should. Mm-hmm. I have God's spirit. Now you just need to know that God knows for sure who you are. Mm-hmm. And if you have a question, figure out, ask him. He'll tell mm-hmm. you. Just like he was telling me stuff to do for my, as simple as that was. And as a healthcare professional, maybe I knew what to do, but that wasn't the right thing for me. So take God's word, because he will give you and reveal to you exactly what you need, and it's always going to be right. Mm-hmm. Now, we may be not doing some things like some other people, mm-hmm. but take a minute to ask yourself, is there any carnality to my Christianity? Take self-examination. Pastor don't need to do it. I don't need to do it, Minister Wright, but this is a self thing. And he said, if we judge ourselves, we don't have to be judged. But your standard for judgment is the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, somebody said that's the basic instruction book before leaving earth. But open it up. Read it. Study it. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you. Let your mind and your spirit be enlightened. So God wants us to live as a spiritual person. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must what? Worship him in spirit and truth. So if you're born of the flesh and you have not spirit of God, how are you going to worship him? So we need God's spirit. We need to become that spiritual person that the Heavenly Father wants us to do. And you know, God makes it so easy. He always makes us promises. All we got to do is meet the condition. He says, if a man's way please me, I'm not going to withhold no good thing.
That's right.
God know what's good for us. Sometimes we don't know what's good for us.
Amen. Well.
Now, we may not be doing something as some other people, but we don't need to judge other people. We need to take self-examination. There are some things in my life that I know was displeasing to the Lord. So God had to just strip me naked. I often tell the story, I was in a big time hospital and a big time administrator. And the Lord said to me, I was making a God out of the job. Mm. Well, I didn't think I was just trying to have a good unit, run a good unit, and not have no problem when the Joint Commission came. But see, I put things before God. Mm. Was I a Christian? Had I accepted Jesus as my Lord? Yes. But my action made me have some idols. Mm. The job was, I didn't think of it that way. But when God began to strip me, he showed me, you're making a God out of the job. There shall be no other gods before me. So let us take self-examination. Let us please the Father. So you need to choose this day to be all you can be. Be that spiritual person, displaying some spiritual fruit that's described in Galatians 5:22-23. Because you never know who's going to come by and need some fruit for the day. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out here in the world that needs to see somebody that has some joy.
Yes.
Need to see somebody that has some peace.
Yes.
When their world is tore up from the floor, they need to see somebody, and seeing a sermon might be what they remember most, because they may not come to the church to hear one. So we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's faith, it's meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Now, if we have the Spirit of God, and we are trees of righteousness, there ought to be some fruit on our trees, in season and out of season, because you don't never know who's going to show up and need some fruit. So, we don't need to just let our light shine where there is light. We need to let it shine in darkness.
Mm.
And our life should be evident to somebody else that somebody said, well, what must I do to have what you have?
Mm.
And they're not talking about spiritual or material things. They're talking about the love that they see, the joy that you have, despite what might be going on in life. I'm about to go to my seat, but who are you? Are you carnal? Are you spiritual? Do you let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus? Jesus always wanted to please the Father. But you know, because we have an adversary, the devil, the devil is always opposing everything that God's doing. But you have some control over what you allow. If the Holy Spirit is in you, allow him to lead God and direct you. The Holy Spirit will reveal the deep things of God. Sometimes we mess up, screw up, do all kinds of crazy things because the Holy Spirit, that little small still voice, is speaking to us, but we override it. I often tell the story about one day the Holy Spirit said, take your keys, and I didn't take them. My other keys got locked up in the car, and that was expensive disobedience because I had to pay $65 to get the locksmith to come. But you need to be in tune to the Spirit.
That's right.
The Spirit is not going to override. Even though he's our helper, when we don't know how to pray, he will help us, but he's not going to do the praying for us.
That's right.
He's going to reveal the word to us and give us revelation, but he's not going to study for us. We got to study and let the Holy Spirit reveal the word of God. And once that word get in you, you may not have your Bible, but if the word is in you, when the enemy come in, you can use that word.
That's right.
That's a part of your weaponry. It is the sword of the Spirit. And see, one thing I find that the enemy don't like, he don't like for you to get that word. When you get ready to study that word, he'll try to make you sleepy. Try to make you look at something on TV that's real interesting. Then you say, I'm going to watch this. Next thing you fall asleep, then you eat no word for that day. Remember, you are what you eat. If you're eating junk naturally, your body's going to be in trouble. If you're eating junk spiritually, thinking, you're going to be spiritually malnourished. Somebody's laughing, that's funny. So you don't want to be spiritually malnourished. Now, and closing with the scripture, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection in us. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
All right.
Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, ending up one another like the people in Corinth. I can imagine that if Paul was on scene, he'd say, some of these churches are just like the church at Corinth. They have a form of God. They're doing the right church stuff. They have a lot of church entity. They got their program, but they left God out. Doing all the things, what I call dead works. Nothing wrong with coming to church. Nothing wrong with staying as long as we used to stay. But at some point in time, you got to realize you got to come down off that high horse and you have to do some things. So we can't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Because somebody needs to know about Christ.
That's right.
Somebody needs to know about the Holy Spirit. Somebody needs to hear a word from the Lord. Somebody might have to be encouraged sometime, because you know what? Everything that's going on in the world, that stuff out there will beat you down. Mm-hmm. And you can get to your wits' end and be like, Lord, what must I do? Lord, what must I do? But we find comfort in the scriptures. They tell us what we need to do. We need to pick up this Bible, go through it, study, and meditate on it day and night if you want to have good success. And I declare to you, the Holy Spirit will lead you to a passage of scripture. And you can read a scripture. I remember my own personal experience. I was at a Bible study. This was long before I came under Pastor D, and I was sitting there complaining because the pastor wasn't coming to teach. And at that time, I was just hungry for the Word of God. You see, I had tasted a little bit of the Lord, so I never missed Bible study. So I went, and the pastor didn't show up for Bible study. And what God gave me that time was John 10:10. And I'm closing. It said, it lets you know that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the door. And he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Well, if you're not one of the sheep, you ain't going to know the shepherd's voice. So, and then if you don't know his voice, you're going to follow a stranger. And the devil will bring some strange voices to you. He'll make it seem like it's God. He'll add just a little bit to make you think that is the truth, but it's not the
right.
truth.
Come on now.
So when God brought that to me, I was sitting there, I was reading, and it's like he lit the page up. I don't think I'd ever read that scripture, but I bet you after that I knew it, because the Holy Spirit revealed it. I didn't have to memorize it. He just dropped it in my spirit. So know that you need the Spirit of God. And not only that, God don't just say, receive the Spirit. He said, be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
If you take a glass of water, you sit here through the heat and evaporate. So we need to be filled with the Spirit, because you never know when someone comes along need for you to give them something. So if you have nothing, how can you give up? David said, I hid the word in my heart that I may not sin against God. So we need to hide this word in our heart. Then we like the ever-ready battery. Always have something to give out. May God bless you.
Amen.